Saga Egmont presents Your Turn to Die by Sue Wallman. Read by Olive Bowne. For Phoebe, Maya and Sophie. 1. The back seat of the car is my kingdom. Travel duvet, phone, headphones, snacks, easy to access makeup bag to make myself look presentable 10 minutes before arrival. Not even the presence of revision books, hastily stuffed into my bag by Mum, can dampen my mood. I pop a tab of chewing gum into my mouth, crunching down with satisfaction on the minty outer layer. Not long to go until we're there. I'm wrong about that. It takes ages to reach the midway point, the Spotted Pig pub. It was where we always stopped for lunch when it was Mum and Dad. Now it's Mum and Steve. And Mum drives straight past it without saying anything. She pulls up outside a cafe in a parade of shops off the main road. It turns out to be closed, so we have to buy sandwiches from a petrol station. We eat the ham and cheese with unexpected mayonnaise sandwiches and Pringles in a parking space next to the machine that forces air into car tyres. Steve finds his Guess the Movie soundtrack app, and I'm annoyed to discover my new headphones fail to block the grating sound of him and Mum laughing. I remind myself that in a couple of days the two of them will be going up north to visit Steve's sister, leaving me at Rowshot House alone with the others. I cannot wait. Before we set off again, Mr. Eager to Please takes the rubbish to the bin. While he's gone, Mum checks her face in the flip-down mirror above the windscreen. She pushes away a flake of mascara from her cheek and reapplies her lipstick. By the bin, Steve straightens his Christmas jumper. I know what everyone at Rowshot House is going to think about that jumper. Mum, I say, please don't let Steve share any more of the driving. She frowns. He has a solid driving age of 90, I say. Leaving aside the fact he owns driving gloves, I concentrate on the main problem. By driving so slowly, he's wasting valuable time I could be spending with my cousin Ivy and our lifelong friend Jacob. I hate being the last ones to arrive. Mum sighs and looks as if she's about to fire up the Don't Be Mean to Steve script, but she says, you're right to want to make the most of Rowshot House. I'm not sure I'll be able to afford it next year if the rental price keeps rocketing. And Steve and I aren't even going to be there for two of the nights we're paying for. She sees my face and starts the engine as Steve approaches the car. I'll do my best, but, you know, maybe next year it'll be time for us to do something different. I'm not sure who the us is in that sentence. I lean forward to the gap in between the front seats. But we have to come back next year. Soon you'll want to go to a New Year party with your friends at home, says Mum. Things change. They already have, I say, leaning back as Steve opens the car door and sits so heavily the car actually wobbles, adding one of his trademark grunty noises. Everything all right? He says. He's not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I think even he can sense he's not my favourite person. I pretend I haven't heard, and Mum says, yes, we're fine, thanks. Leah's keen to get there and see Ivy and Jacob. She makes me sound as if I'm going on a playdate. When we were little, Ivy, Jacob and I called ourselves the Three Amigos. It sounds silly now that we're 15, but that's still how we think of ourselves. I can't imagine a time when I'd rather be at a party than at Rowshot House. Okay, it sounds supremely unpromising when I tell anyone about it. A week, in an old house, in the middle of nowhere, which has no Wi-Fi or even a phone signal. But somehow, it works. The three of us hang out by ourselves most of the time, sometimes also with my little cousin Poppy, Ivy's sister, who's 8. And their dog, Baz. The adults are always busy being boring with each other, which works fine for us.